KABU website hack.
You're listening to the KABU Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Dan Raphael, Sam Booman, and Zelis Marchant. Our producer is Kyle Qureshi. Our engineer is David Kesters. The KABU Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelis Marchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or you can also find us on Facebook or on Twitter at KABU News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR in Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KABU, at 7 it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Native Voices from the Edge with guest hosts Carrie and Amory from the Native American Youth and Family Center. At 9, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly news and commentary program, digging deep into the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, Per Fagerang asks what happened to Sergei Skripal and his daughter, Yulia. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Between the Covers, Mark Nepo talks about his work as a thought leader and his new book, Things That Join the Sea and Sky. Thanks, KABU members, for your support. To keep informed and get involved, go to kabu.fm and click on Donate to become a member. KABU News in Depth is next.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KABU with news from your community radio station.
Hello, hello, welcome, folks. This is indeed News from the Boo. This is your weekly update about what's happening in and around KABU, and I am super excited to be joined this evening by one of our volunteers, Don Merrill. Hi, Don.
Hey.
Hey, Don is working on a book. It's finished, is about to get published, and it's called Pledge, the Public Radio Fund Drive.
Yeah, it's being looked at by the editor right now, so hopefully within the next 60 days or so it'll be published. So
cool.
Yeah.
So I know that lots of folks are super excited about it because membership drive, fund drives is something that we do a lot here. So I can't wait to delve into what that's about. But before we do that, I'd love if you could share a little bit about who you are and how you came to radio and to KABU.
I was a member of Armed Forces Broadcasting when I was in the military, and I worked at a couple of Armed Forces Broadcasting outlets overseas. And then when I left the military, I did work for civilian broadcasting in Cincinnati and also in Massachusetts and some other places. And then I was a public affairs officer for the federal government. And then I came to Portland in 2012 and started volunteering at KABU right away because, shout out to KABU, KABU always needs volunteers, always wants people from the community to participate in broadcasting and the community voice. So I was able to do a lot of work in the news department, and I did a lot of work with Jenka Soderberg, who is a fantastic former news director. Now she's the IT person here.
And the web, she's a web person, yeah.
Web person. Mm-hmm. And Zelis is now the news director here, and I just can't seem to stay away from the news department. So anyway, that's how I got involved in radio, and that's and as far as the book itself, I had because I've been in radio for so long and because I listened to a lot of public radio, after a while I started hearing some things in public radio that sort of made me wonder why they do the things they do. Things about pledge drives, things about questions over transparency, questions about messaging, things like that. And it just made me wonder, sort of like somebody who is a member of the United States, who loves the United States, but also claims the right to protest about things they don't like going on in the United States. And that's how I feel about public radio. So that's kind of like why I wrote the book.
Right. You feel your right to protest some of the things that are going on.
You're right.
And so I just love your shirt, I need to say. So Don is wearing a shirt that says, support for the stations come from our members, period. The rest of you don't matter.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. Public radio stations say a lot of times that support for this station comes from our members. And a lot of times, some stations even say support comes from our sustaining members. And there's a lot wrapped up in that because public radio gears most of its effort toward the people who can support it. And the demographics of public radio show that the people who can support public radio most are the people who are highly educated, wealthy, traveled, highly cultured. And that leaves out a lot of people that public radio says it wants, but it knows can't really contribute the way the wealthy people can. And so whether it wants to admit it or not, public radio tends to lean toward the upper classes. And so being a sustaining member also means that in order for you to be a sustaining member, it means you have to be able to support on a regular basis, which usually means you have to have an account, which usually means you have to have credit, which usually means a lot of people who don't have those things, you know, have to walk into the station or mail in checks. And those aren't the people that public radio is leaning toward. Sustaining memberships have been on the upsurge over the last 5 years because public radio discovered that people who can contribute automatically are worth much more to stations than people who contribute, once a year or right. once a month.
Right. And so who did you talk to in writing this book? Who did you interview? What kind of research did you do? Who are the folks that you talked to?
Well, I was fortunate enough to talk to some of the people who were there at the beginning of public radio. I was able to talk to William Siemering, who was the first program director of National Public Radio. I was able to talk to William Kling, who was the founder and creator of Minnesota Public Radio. Minnesota Public Radio had offshoots that, you know, some listeners may recognize, Public Radio International, American Public Media. But it all began with Bill Kling and Minnesota Public Radio. And I was able to talk to a lot of former and current people who work at National Public Radio. I've talked to a lot of people who work in community radio, not only people here at KBOO. I've talked to a lot of people here at KBOO, past and current people here at KBOO. But I've also talked to people at other community radio stations, other public radio stations. And over the last 3 years, which is how long I've been working on this book, I've done just a ton of research. Mm-hmm. So I've got a pretty long bibliography.
Right. And so how do you feel then, what is the difference between then public radio and community radio? Is there any difference in the way that they operate their membership drives? Because as you say, public radio are very focused on looking for a certain kind of people, the sustaining members. And I feel that community radio, including KBOO, are also moving this direction. At the same time, we're very mission focused and maybe might be getting money from other places to alleviate some of that. So are they in a similar situation?
Public radio and community radio are similar in that they both have a mission to serve the community. Mm-hmm. Public radio and community radio are different primarily in how they're funded and how that funding allows them to fulfill that mission. Public radio, because it is geared toward who it's geared to, they rely a lot on government funding. They rely an awful lot on corporate funding and on foundational money. Public radio has been leaning especially toward corporate money because since the Nixon administration, it's been threatened with cuts of government money. And so because government money has been declining, not only on the federal level, but also on the state level, public radio has had to lean more and more towards corporate money. And when you lean toward corporate money, you sell a little piece of your soul. Now, what community radio does, community radio has a reputation of avoiding corporate money. It also has a reputation of avoiding as much as it can government money. Mm-hmm. And so because it has a different demographic and because that demographic may not have the income that public radio demographics do, community radio can't afford to do as much. But the difference is that community radio's message is much more focused on the community.
Right.
It's much more grassroots. It's much more community involved. And that leads some people to feel that community radio is in some ways more sincere than any radio, commercial radio, public radio. The only radio that may be considered more sincere than community radio would be grassroots radio, like people from the Prometheus Radio Project or people from Pacifica. But community radio is in the highly trustworthy category.
Mm-hmm. And so, do you feel then the membership drive or the pledge drive model is indeed a viable model for community radios, but also for public radios? Because it seems like public radios then are relying on way less of the members' donation than a community radio would. Here, for example, is 75% to 80% of everything it takes to run KBOO that comes directly from members. Is there a little bit less for a public radio station, and is it like a viable model for them as well?
Public radio gets about 40% of its money from listeners.
Okay.
But you're right. Public radio and community radio's fund drives are coming to sound very similar because there are certain things that public radio does really well when it does its fund drives. And one of the things it does is hammering home the message, because if you don't repeat that message over and over and over, people drift off. They have lives to live. They're doing other things. Their attention gets distracted. And so, and public radio, the only thing it has is what people are hearing at this very moment, my voice, sound. That's all radio has. And if that sound doesn't compel the listener to do something, then that listener's gone and they've lost that money. So especially here at KBOO, I mean, I've noticed over the last year that KBOO's pledge drives have gotten much more focused thanks to the really hard work of Development Director Becky Myers. She has done some incredible work. Now, for people who don't like pledge drives, you probably don't like what she's done. But for people who appreciate the fact that she has brought a level of efficiency and professionalism to the drives, you have to give credit where credit is due, because that kind of tuning up of a pledge drive brings more money to the station, which allows the station to do more. It also brings in more community involvement.
But it also shortens the amount of drives that we need to have in the amount of days. So if you do not like drives, then you should still like what Becky Myers has done.
That's right. Now, in the book, I talk about there are some stations who do not do drives well. And one station in Rhode Island, their drive ended after 59 days.
Wow.
So it pays to have drives that are well run. However, I can tell you that there is technology that's been around since 2011 that would completely eliminate drives. It's called pledge-free streaming. And pledge-free streaming is if you imagine starting two records at the same time, the same song, starting them both at the same time. One record, every 10 seconds you come in and say, give money. And the other record, all you hear is the music. Well, the music one is the pledge-free streaming because you've already signed up to pay, like on a subscription. And so all you ever hear is music.
Oh.
But stations are not adopting pledge-free streaming because they've got 40 years of pledge drive experience. And pledge-free streaming has only been around for 7 years. And so stations are reluctant to try it. Plus, the technology is expensive to implement.
People would only hear the pledge pitches if they have not made their contributions.
That's right. And and the way it works, it works over devices. So let's say that you normally listen to your station on an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
You register your iPad. The pledge-free software recognizes your device, and so you pledge with a MasterCard or whatever.
Right.
And then when the pledge drive starts, you never hear it.
Don, you just blew my mind. Thank you for coming today. Folks, we're going to be working on the membership drive here. I'm going to read your book. Can you tell us when you feel it might be coming up or when people can read more about it? You have a Facebook page and all.
I do have a Facebook page. My plan is to have the book out within the next 60 days. But right now, if people are interested in finding out more about me or finding out more about the book, they can go to pledgethebook.com. That's pledgethebook, all one word, .com.
Great. And also on Facebook, Pledge the Public Radio Fund Drive.
Right. There are lots of little posts there about little snippets in the book about public radio and the pledge drive that I think people might find interesting.
Yeah, and there are a lot about you also, which I think is cool.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Don Merrill, for being an awesome volunteer at KBOO.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much, Delphine.
Yeah, and for being here on News from the Booth. Thank you all for listening. And next week, Mike Crenshaw will be your host. Have a great evening.
Time is 5:59. You are listening to KBOO Portland. We've got Free Culture Radio is coming up right next after these messages.
facts concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with the requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, unless otherwise noted. The KABU Board of Directors meetings has been rescheduled to take place on Monday, May 21st at 6 p.m.
KABU Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Pueblo Unido PDX one-year anniversary on May 19th from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. at the Levin Community Center in Portland. Join Portlanders in celebrating the recent success and helping community members win their cases against deportation and get out of immigration.